You ever been counted out? Ever had to fight for a future they said you'll never have? Then you're in the right place. This is Break Free, where resilience meets redemption. Where real stories tear down fake ceilings and freedom takes root. Your pain has a purpose. Your scars have a sound. And your breakthrough is louder than your breakdown. You can't expect change when you're stuck. Stuck in the same patterns, same mindset, same habits, same circles. It's time to break free. Hey, guys, favorites. Welcome back to another dope episode of Break Free Podcast with your girl, Free. Today, y'all, I have Miss Moneymaker, Miss Godsender, the Jackie of all trades. Y'all help me welcome Miss Charnel.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing? I didn't want to say Miss Conceited because I know.
Thank you so much for not saying that. I'm trying to leave her behind, okay? She's crazy. She needed therapy and a lot of it.
Yeah.
So 40,000 lady of therapy. I'm just Charnel. And it feels so good to be Charnel.
Okay? It does.
Miss Conceited is nuts, honey.
You had a bribery, huh?
Ooh, she had to go. She was unhinged and unhealed.
And how does it feel to be in this space, Miss Conceited, and now you're Miss Charnel? Like, how does that feel?
It's amazing. Like, It's really refreshing to kind of be like your authentic self. What I realized through, like, I tell people I go to therapy, and I go to therapy a lot because what I realized, I created Miss Conceited because she always, like, had to defend herself. She always had a point to prove. Charnel don't have no points to prove. Whatever your question is or whatever your disbelief is, me and God are about to show you what the answer is.
Ooh.
Believe what you like. Say what you like. I'm okay with it. Keep it to yourself, actually. I don't even need to hear what you have to say, okay?
Yeah.
But then just watch how amazing this story unfolds, because when you have God in your life, like, it's good.
It's so amazing. It's so amazing. And that brings me to, like, this journey you've been on. Like, you know, from time to time, you'll go live sometime or, you know, just talking everything and just watching the transition. You know, I wasn't here for the era of Miss Conceited. I was locked up, you know, but when I came home, it was like you had started to, you know, change in that journey and everything. And it's like God still has blessed you in this season that you're in. Sometimes we think we have to be the hot girl or the, you know, the it girl, but God has still made a way for you.
Well, so what Miss Conceited was, she was a girl hurting and didn't realize that she was hurting. She was a girl that was depressed. She was a girl that had so many insecurities. So she masked it with cussing people out, being the loudest inside of the room, always showing what my husband did because I knew my husband was messing with so many people. So I just had to, oh, I got an AP. Oh, I got a new Birkin. Oh, I went to Hermes. That's a hurt girl. So I liked her, and honestly, in the season that she was in, because right. Miss Conceited was sick. That good sis, she was fly, she was cute, and she was making millions of dollars. But when the lights went off, when the cameras is gone, when everybody's gone, she didn't like herself inside.
Wow.
And that was where I started to pray, like, God, I had this big old house. I got Bentleys. I have $1 million worth of jewelry. I got a husband. I have all these things. Why am I depressed? Why am I crying when people are not around? Why am I forcing myself I used to have to talk myself into, okay, go, just turn. So Miss Conceited was me turning on. If that makes sense.
Right.
And I don't want to be turned on. Like, I just want to be Charnel, and that is whoever it is. Whenever somebody said anything to me from the internet to just even not even on the internet, I always had something to say.
Had to address it.
And it's like, why? I never wanted the life of anybody that has ever talked about me. So why are you even responding? Who cares what they have to say? Because from time to time, you look to see who it is. And it's like,
baby,
you should focus on yourself. So when I realized And I came to realize that I had to change my life. And I knew I had to do it drastically. I had to start completely over because the foundation wasn't no good on the life that I had currently built at that particular time. And I tell people, it's nothing bad about the person that I was with, because I was with the same person for a very long time. They was the human I met. It's nothing wrong with them because that's who they are.
Right.
But it was something wrong with me to allow the foolishness to go on for as long as it did. And then I had something to prove to other people, because can you imagine walking in a room full of women and wondering, I wonder who my husband's sleeping with in here? And it'd be people in your face, people that's trying to get you to coach them, people that's trying to get you to be around, because all they trying to do is mess with your husband because you got a new AP, or my ring was 23 carats. Imagine that. So I want her life. I want everything about her life.
They didn't even know what come along with it.
They didn't know that I didn't even want my life. So you could have it. But I was too ashamed to say that I didn't even want the life that I currently had, because everybody said it wasn't going to work. So I was in something to prove other people wrong. And that is the worst thing. And it wasn't always like that, but the ending was like that, because it was, I didn't want nobody to say, I told you so.
And not only that, as women, you know, we competitive. So you think I'm going to lose my man to you? Right. I'm not about to let you have my man. Even if it means me still just being here sick to my stomach at night, times he don't come on, I'm not going to give him to you.
That's how I felt. And that's the dumbest thing I could ever do in my whole life. I'm really smart. I'm working on my second PhD. So there is no reason at no point in my life that I should feel like that. But the world and times and just different things, like people in your ear, you've been married so many times already. What you leaving for? Like, that was the biggest question, because it's not as if he did anything new wrong. Mm-hmm. This is the same human. So what's your problem now? 10 years in, 12 years in. My problem was I changed and I wanted more as a human. And I was okay with people now saying, I told you so. Oh, I knew they weren't going to stay together. You know what? Y'all
okay.
can have it.
Yep, it's
just,
okay.
Just gone. And I left quiet, though. It wasn't loud. It wasn't. I tried to make it quiet. It didn't quite work out.
No, I was
going to
say, it definitely wasn't quiet.
But in the beginning, it was. Mm-hmm. Until all the noise. And it was other people making the noise. And it took 3 years, right, for me to get a divorce. But in the end, the stuff we were fighting about was because other people wanted to see who won. And at one point, we were best friends. So it's like,
how do
you
we
doing
get to
this
point?
To me?
Right.
But we're doing that to each other because of other people's opinions. They don't got nothing to do with this. Ultimately, it worked out greatly in my favor, because my ex truly realized that girl never did me nothing. That girl was
shout out
10
to him.
Toes
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
And everything the judge gave him, he gave me back.
Wow.
The judge told me to sell half of everything, because we didn't have a prenup and we had accumulated properties, commercial, residential. We had a yacht. We had houses in Miami, cars, jewelry. We had all of these things. And ultimately, after so much money later, I wish he would have came to the realization before, but I'm going to take whatever God gave me. The judge hit the gavel down mm-hmm. and said, even if you sell all of your stuff and give him half, you will still have more than I have, and I'm a judge. I said, well, what that's supposed to mean, but okay.
Yeah.
We walked out of there, and I said, God, you see what's happening, right? And my ex-husband, at his barbershop, he was like, just pull up to me at the barbershop. He had an incident that happened, and I pulled up to him, and he was so shocked that I came. Everybody was shocked, because we was not talking to each other for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if something's wrong with him,
I need to know.
I'm going to check on him. And right. I don't care who there.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm still his wife. So I'm going to make sure there is nothing wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
And from that day that I just showed up, first he was like, I'm calling security on you.
Mm-hmm.
I say, you calling security on who? Now you a snitch? But we talked and talked for hours and hours. And from that day forward, it then became, this the lady that I married. This is the person that I love.
Yep.
And I did something to her. she didn't do nothing to me. And in that realization, I now have my school, I have my commercial buildings, I have everything back that I was actually supposed to sell, but he didn't take it because he knew it wasn't for him.
That's what's up.
So I tell
people. The favorite God.
God. Yep. That's all that was, because he could have took it. He could have been malicious and he could have did all those things. But ultimately, the person he fell in love with, he turned around and saw that in your worst times, sir, even when you're attacking me, I'm still going to show up for you. Because he had always showed up for me business-wise, and any idea that I had ever thought of, he always makes sure. Like, it didn't matter. I lost so much of that man money, honey. So much of that man money, honey.
Yeah.
And he still gave me more and gave me more. He was like, because you're going to be something, and I need to be a part of that.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up. So let's talk about the book. Fifth Time is a Charm, right?
Yes.
Fifth time is a charm. Fifth time, guys. Fifth time. So you were married?
Four times.
Right.
I was married four times. I married my last husband twice.
So that, yes.
We loved each other.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't work. He had too much money. And baby, they rode that meat till they couldn't ride it no more. You hear me? Lord, today. I couldn't unsee it, and I tried to unsee it, and I just couldn't. I said, this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. For stuff, to have a fancy car, and to have jewelry, and to have a yacht, and to be on private jets, ultimately, I was purchased.
Talk about that, how women, because I'm guilty of it too. We'll be with a man for things, and we think things are the end all be all.
And I don't even know how it happened. But it just happened.
Probably because from your grandmother. Remember what your grandmother told you when you were younger.
But how it happened to where you sell your soul. Mm. You get what I'm saying? Mm. Like, my grandmother, when I was 17, my grandmother said, I was so excited. I had this boyfriend, and I really liked that boy. I have been liking that boy a long time. And he gave me half of my rent money. My mom had got me an apartment. She gave me 3 months rent, paid all my bills. She was like, you got 3 months to figure it out, sis. Save your money so you can pay your bills. Me and him started dating. Came the first of the month. He gave me half of the money. I ran to my mom's house and told my mom and my grandma. My grandma said, he gave you half? I said, yeah. I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, I read this.
You hear
me? Yeah, I read this in the book.
I'm happy. Girl, I had no $700-something dollars for no rent back then. I was 17, baby. Yes, give me this $350, okay? Yeah. And my grandma looked and said, well, are you giving him half of your vagina?
Mm.
And I said, what do you mean? I was confused. I had a two-year-old, though. I had my son. I got pregnant at 15, so my son was two. Me and him, I'm like, what you talking about? I didn't want to talk to my grandma about sex. So right. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And she said it again. And I said, well, no, I'm only dating him. She said, well, if he don't have all the rent, he shouldn't be having all of your vagina. She said, so you need to go and tell him if he don't have all the rent money, you're going to have to talk to somebody else to get it.
Ooh, grandma didn't play. You hear me?
I said, oof. So I told him, I said, listen. My grandma's still alive. She's 93.
Oh, wow.
Yes, she's 93.
That's amazing.
And I told him. And he said, okay, I got it. And from that day, it put a footprint in my brain of, if the man don't have all your bill money, then he can't mess with you. I love my grandma. But that is the worst thing she could have did to me as a human.
Mm-hmm.
Because then after that, I always just prayed, God, I just want a rich man. I just need a rich man who pay the bills. I didn't ask for a communicator. I didn't ask for a protector. I didn't ask for anybody that was going to treat me right. I didn't ask for somebody that was loving or caring. I used to pray every day, God, give me a rich husband.
He gave it to you.
And he did it.
Yeah.
Ooh, he said, she keep asking?
Right.
Let me show her.
Mm.
Let me show her. Let me give it to her. And again, that was a life. When I was on the other side of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say that. But when you are truly reading the Bible, you start to feel convicted yourself. Like nobody has to tell you anything. You start to get uncomfortable with what you know is not okay.
Right.
So I became uncomfortable. I became like depressed about it. Like, why do I not love this? Like, why am I not infatuated with this life? I have it all. I have a rich husband. I have a big house. I have fancy cars. I have a popping business. I had billboards on every interstate in Atlanta. I was hurt.
Right.
To other people. But inside, I was miserable. I said, baby, my life can't go like this. Because I'm bubbly. I'm fun. I'm happy. And then I started to, like, just always arguing, always confrontational, always just raw at people. You can say one thing to me, and I'm attacking you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going below the belt. And I don't even know how to fight. Let's just say that. Sis don't know. I called my friends the other day. I said, who can teach me how to fight?
You too old now.
They said, girl, you too old.
Yeah, you too old now.
I would just like to know so that I could stop saying that.
But no, you too old now.
It's a true thing.
Gotta fight your, what, Exodus 14:14.
Baby.
Stand still. Gotta fight your battle.
You better. But you better not smack me, sis, because you're going to jail. And I'm going to the hospital. And I'm suing you. Because I'm not going to raise my hand to you. Neither now am I going to raise my voice.
Right.
So, like, back then, if you said something to me, I was saying something back. And I used to use the excuse of, they said something to me. But I would cut so low that people would be like, I can't believe she said that.
Right. Talk and about kids.
I would talk about anything.
Right.
Anything I knew that was going to get you. Because I'm not an arguer. Like, I can't go back and forth. Mm-hmm. So once you tap
a
my shoulder,
yeah, you got
I got a strong good one for you.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to walk away and you will want to beat my behind.
Yeah.
Is what I realized.
Yeah.
I say, I understand why these people don't like me. I had the wrong thing to say all the time, but it was a girl that was hurt. Like, people would always say, like, I'm messing with your husband. And they would always tell me, like, once he didn't give them some money. So you now want me to know I've been messing with him for 2 years. Well, you didn't call me 2 years ago. Well, tell him, give me my money.
It would be that bold.
It was all I always found, because I'm not a phone checker. Like, I'm not a go investigate to break my own heart. Baby, keep me out of it. I'm sitting on it. It has to fall in my lap for me to see it.
I am investigating.
I am.
I will go from here to West Ham. You hear me?
Because I always believe you get what you're looking for.
Yeah.
You will find it.
Right.
And if I was going to go in that man's phone, I was going to see something that he did not like. But on the flip side, don't go in mine either. Because I wasn't the holiest wife that they had on the block. I'm not a victim. By no means in the sense of saying that I always did right.
Right.
I didn't. Because it was always somebody that liked me. And while my husband was out doing what he was doing, this other person was trying to buy me something because they seen what he was buying. So I said, hey.
If you gonna buy it, I'm gonna take it.
If you going, let's go and go. Meet you where? Sax, I'm on the way.
And when did it dawn on you, like, this is not the life I want. Like, I don't wanna be brought no more. You know, men, when they give you their money and stuff, they think they own you. They think they can tell you what to do.
You have been purchased.
Right.
And the most disgusting thing and realization for me is to know that I was purchased. It wasn't love with a lot of relationships that I was in. Because the mindset was, if you can afford to pay my bills, then we can be together. And so my whole life at this point, all four relationships, every relationship I have ever been in, I was purchased. Each time, it was a higher sale. I wasn't that cheap now. Now, listen. The good sis is a little pricey.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I turn it into a joke now, but it wasn't a joke when I realized it. I say, why? How did you get to this point? Like, you get somebody in your face messing over you. Mm-hmm. Somebody, like, you can get something. Like, what is wrong with you? But what I realized was I needed them for my lifestyle. So I started going to school a lot. I have so many college degrees, it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And I would make them pay for it. Right. And my ex-husband paid for the majority of them. Shout out to him.
Right.
I love that man.
Right. Because I seen in the book, too, you were saying how he was the first person, like, to tell you, what do you want to do? What business? What do you want to do? I think he asked you, what did you want to do maybe in 5 years? He asked you something about business.
Whatever it is you want to be, you can be. Mm-hmm. So what is it that you want to be? And I'm going to pay for it.
And you said no other man had up until that point, and this was your fourth. fourth husband?
We weren't married then. This was in 2011. I met him in a strip club. And what's crazy is I worked in a strip club as a waitress. And I was married to somebody else when I met my third husband.
I remember that.
And my second husband cheated on me with a dancer that worked at the club. And so I was so mad about that. My third husband was the first person that just asked me for my number. So that's how it happened. Like, I was still married. I was just like, you know what? Screw him. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm about to give me somebody else because I always use the excuse of, baby, I'm cute. Watch this.
Don't. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a terrible. The confidence level I have is a little bit disgusting.
No, but no. I have yeah.
It. Yeah. And it is
yeah,
what
you
it
got,
is.
You got to have it because yeah. if not, you lose yourself. You lose yourself in the breakups. You lose yourself in the long-term relationships. Yeah. Like, we will lose ourselves. Yeah. So you got to have that kind. And then in this dog-eat-dog-eat world, I hate to say it, you have to be like that because if you don't think you who you are, who else going to think it for you?
Right. I have it times 10.
Yeah. I ain't mad at you because I know mine's on steroids.
Listen, it is a thing with me, honey. I walk past that mirror in the morning. I tell people, listen, I know who this, a lady on the internet says this and I stick with it. Mm-hmm. I want the mind of Christ, but the body of a stripper. You hear me?
You know, they say in the Bible, though, they say Sarah, they say she was bad even all the way up in her 90s.
Let me tell you something. Baby, I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning today to go to the gym, but I go to sleep with no clothes on mm-hmm. just so that I can walk past the mirror and look at it. I'd be like, damn, girl.
Yeah, you got to pump yourself
you
up.
You got to.
Yeah, you
got to
be your number one supporter.
To get out the house, because mm-hmm. if not, babe, I'll go back to bed.
Yeah.
But I go to the gym. It's just, I think my confidence sometimes, well, it used to be directed the wrong way. Now I make sure it's directed the right way. So now I use it to build other people up, because there's a lot of women in the world that don't have confidence. But I tell people, if you sit around me long enough, you're going to think you can be anything that you can be. Like, anything you want to be in the world, you will think you can do it if you sit around me long enough. Because I don't want to gossip. I don't want to talk about nobody. Who are you? What you doing with your life? Let's figure it out. Like, oh, that's who you want to be? Do you have the money for it? Oh, you don't? Let me find you the lender. Let me help you get your credit fixed. Let me do. I am a true girl's girl now all the way. So it's a thing of I just want to help. So my confidence spills over into them and it takes them from a dark place and it helps them be, if she can do it, then I can do it as well. So that's why I tell the story. Most people look at being married 4 times as a negative thing, and it could be looked at it that way, right? Mm-hmm. But there was 4 men, well, 3 men that thought I was good enough to be their wife.
Right.
So that's not so bad if you look at it that way.
Right.
Or you can say she had 4 failed marriages. But to me, they were all lessons for the person that I am now.
Right.
And this is one lady that taunts me on the internet, and she's always like, God ain't going to give you no another husband because he already gave you so many and you done gave them back. And I tell her, God ain't gave me them husbands. I never checked with God. We never did marriage counseling or anything like that before I got married. I got married because people asked me to marry them.
Mm.
But I knew the men weren't supposed to be my husband. It was so many signs. They say red flags now. Baby, I had every color flag.
Right.
And I still was going because of the one thing. They could pay my bills. So that was all I was looking for. Now, not so much.
Right.
And I mean, now, you can't come over here broke. Listen. Do not come to the good sis broke. Because you're not going to get no broke girls. So you can't come over here broke. Mm. I have my stuff together.
Yeah.
I own multiple
all the way
properties.
Together.
Residential, commercial. I have a PhD. I'm working on a second one. Like, I have it together
right.
over here.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
But do you have a super high standard of what you think God should send you now? Or do you feel like, because, you know, we'll have a list of all the things.
Child, me and God, and that list of what that man should be, It's an interesting list. But I'll tell you this. Money is not thing number one.
Right.
But if God give me a man that's clear in his direction, that is a communicator, that is a protector, that is a provider, that is a person that's headed somewhere in life, that is a strong man, that in the midst of anything, he's going to still stand tall and be a man of God. And if we have a problem, God is his source. See, what happened in most relationships is I'm going to God and they going to the strip club. We're not going to the same source.
Right.
So if I am with somebody that is going to the same source as I am, we're going to be fine.
Right.
And a man that's a provider, he ain't coming over here broke. A man that's clear on his direction, he's not coming over here broke because he's clear on his direction. Right. I am an alpha female. Mm-hmm. So you have to show me that you are headed somewhere for me to feel safe and comfortable enough to sit in a passenger seat. I can't wait. People be like, oh, you want to be the boss? Let me tell y'all something. Where my camera at?
You know where your camera at?
Listen, I, Chanel, do not want to be the boss in no relationship. Sir, tell me what to do. But you can only do that if you know where you going.
Right.
Because then my boss mode is going to kick in and say, baby, you going into a brick wall. Let me take control. But I don't want to do that at home. Like, I can be a boss at work, but at home, I do not want to be the boss. Yeah. I do not want to make all the decisions. What we doing? Sound good to me. Let me hold the navigation or the roadmap for you, sir, and tell you to turn left or right from the plan you have. Or let me implement some things, you know. So I hear a lot of men saying, like, what do you bring to the table?
I bring the whole table.
But I bring what's needed to the table. If I got to bring the whole table, I ain't going in there. Mm-hmm. I don't want to bring the whole table. Sir, what have you did? I'm 41. I don't date anybody that's younger than me. So you've had more time than me. What's needed at this table? I can't tell you what I bring to the table in the beginning because I need to observe what's on the table to even see if that's a table meant for me.
Mm.
And see, most women don't do that because men will have money and then everything. They got insecurity. They got mama issues, daddy issues. They have all these things that's wrong. Maybe I don't want to be at that table. But and it ain't therapist at that table.
Right. And then not only that, too, after you a chick that didn't had everything, at this age in my life, I don't need a dude with all, I don't want the street dude. I don't want all that come along with that. I'm okay. I'd rather be with my working man where we can work together to reach the goals that we want to reach.
Yes.
'Cause I've had it all. I've done it all. And guess what? Like you said, it's a lonely road. It's a lonely road being with a street dude. I don't care. And y'all can argue with whoever y'all want to argue with.
Argue with your mama.
Right. I ain't want to say that.
Argue with your mama. But guess what? I was addicted to street men.
You and me both.
Baby, but I couldn't wait to see them coming. You hear me?
We used to be out with the family, and you know, all the ball players, all the rappers gravitated towards the family, right? I didn't want that. I wanted the nigga who had the most, who getting the most kilos in. That's what I want to know. Who the block commander? That's what I want. I wasn't stunned.
We ain't say that, but we said that. Okay? Listen. But I think it's because they do the things you want them to do, which is a lot of times irresponsible, right? Like, they going to drop you off 20, 30,000. They going to get the Birkins. They going to do all those things that you want. They going to spend money and not think about a budget. So when you're younger, that's what you're interested in. But the older you get, I don't want nobody like that, baby. You can't come over here. If you do that at 40, that's your profession?
Right.
You ain't made enough to go do something. Uh-uh, baby, you can't come over here because I have things to lose. And I can't play with you. And that's not my husband. God ain't make me this amazing. I have all these businesses doing all these great, amazing things. And, baby, I can't take him to the church. Because I'm bringing people to the Lord.
Right.
You hear me?
Right.
That is the story of the day. I am taking you to church and you can't go. I can't introduce you to nobody. If I'm trying to sit at the mayor's event or sit somewhere, you can't go. So then you're going to hold me back as a person because it's rooms that street people can't get into.
Yeah.
That they don't belong into because you won't even know how to hold a conversation.
And too, most of the times, if you're not super educated and have a lot of money, then you can be intimidated by certain rooms. And
yeah.
Yeah. You can be intimidated by certain rooms. And I want you to also, so not only the marriage four times, right? But in one of those marriages, being that this is National Domestic Violence Month, I want you to speak to that about being abused.
So it was in my first marriage, and one of my supposed to be friends, she wasn't my friend, let's be very clear, told him that I was messing with this other guy. And I wasn't even messing with a guy, but I was standing outside one day talking to another guy. He was out of town, so he didn't see me, but she told him that I was messing with somebody else. So then I flew out of town to go see him. We had got married. I'm the queen of getting married at the Justice of the Peace. So three of my marriages was at the Justice of the Peace. I've only had one actual wedding because I want the rain.
That was out the country, right?
Yeah. I want a rain. Like, I don't need no food for you to eat. I don't need a flower. Now, if I get married again, I'm having an amazing wedding because that's going to be my last true time. But went to go see him, and he was like, I know you're messing with somebody. I know you're messing with somebody. Like, it was probably the craziest experience of my whole life. But because I'm not a shy person or a quiet person, babe, I told somebody, you're not going to hit me. You cannot hit on me.
Right.
And then I had black eyes, bruised ribs, everything. I was in a hospital, and he was trying to call the hospital and calling my phone saying, don't tell them I did that. I'm sorry. Baby, you're going to jail. Baby, you is going to jail if you hit me. Man, monkey, cat, dog, mouse.
And in the book, you said you told the police, the nurse, and anybody that was listening.
Anybody that would hear me, okay? Somebody was going to believe me. I'm not going back over there with him because men are stronger than you. They're bigger than you. You are going to knock me out. And back then, I'm a little fluffy now. But back then, I was a good 105. You can't be slinging my 105 around.
But that mindset, how did you know to have the mindset? Because a lot of times we'll forgive and they say they won't do it again. And then,
baby, it hurt. It hurt to get beat up. I was bruised for over a month. I couldn't move. I could barely breathe in and out. My face, baby, I'm cute. Do I need to take this hat off? Girl, I'm cute. Do y'all need to see me? Okay. So, listen, I am not about to let you mistreat me in that sense, though, because I didn't do anything to deserve that. So, I don't know what made me just say something, but I told everybody that would listen to me. He hit me. He hit me. Like, do something about him hitting me. He went to jail. Like, you can't.
And he tried to get
me.
You to drop the charges.
And he tried. I didn't. No. And do whatever you're going to do to me after that. But somebody is going to know that you hit me.
So speak out is what you feel like you would tell
because
women.
If not, you know how many women end up dead? Do you know how many women end up, like, I've seen on, like, social media and just on different places where these men will throw, like, fire on them and break bones and do all these
different
things.
I've just seen a double homicide
and kill them in
Birmingham, yeah.
And all of this. And it's just like, I'm not going to be in a house with you and you do that. Now, hopefully that is not the path that God say that I'm supposed to exit out of here on, right?
Right.
But at the end of the day, I'm not going back and kiss you and lay in a bed with you after you done knocked my head off of my shoulders.
What would you say is the most valuable lesson that you took away from all four marriages?
Talk to God. Ask him. Ask him before it even gets to that point. See, you can't, if somebody asks you to marry them, you just can't say, no, let me talk to God, right? That's not how that works. That's embarrassing for him, you, and everything else. And a marriage will not work if you stop a man who proposing to you and say, let's ask God first.
Right.
But y'all are supposed to already be praying together. Y'all are supposed to already be going to church together. You guys are supposed to already be in sync in that way already. So you will already know the answer. It was a guy that I met a couple months ago. He came on strong, baby. Ooh, oh, baby, he came on strong. And I was like, he was like, we going to get married. He was sending me all these rings and all of that. And I fasted for 3 days. I said, okay, God, my friends liked them. My mom liked them. They was like, where he come from? I said, I don't know. but it's something going on here. Mm-hmm. And I need to find out. I asked God on Monday. I said, I'm going to fast. And on Thursday, so I take myself to nice dinners and to nice restaurants because I believe if you want somebody to treat you a certain way, you have to treat yourself that way first.
That's good, y'all.
And so for me, I keep myself up really nice so that when you come over here, you see the baseline. You see, and my standard is the floor. It is not the ceiling. Mm-hmm. So the standard of care I provide for me, that's the floor over here. Mm-hmm. Come on, sir. We can't go underneath the floor.
Right.
Right? We got to stay on top of that. But it was just kind of too good to be true, and it was. Because I fasted, and I went to dinner. Took myself to dinner. And something said, go in Target. I ain't even been going in Target. I ain't got nothing to do and buy in Target. But I was in Buckhead passing it up. I get out the car. I go inside of Target. I'm just dilly-dallying. I said, girl, what is you in here for? And so I went to get some coffee creamer. I said, you know what? Let me see if they got my coffee creamer. Walked to get the coffee creamer, went back to the checkout line. I saw him in a line with a lady. I was with the man every day. He was in the line with a lady. So he turned around to get ready to leave, look up and saw me. And he a black guy, baby. He turned white. He didn't have no more color, and he tried to storm out of the store. So now if God put it in my face, I got to see what's going on. I ain't going to look in a phone to find it.
Yeah.
So I pay for my little stuff, walk out the door, and I called his name. I said, so you didn't just see me? So the lady turns around, mm-hmm. and she says, how do you know him? At this point, they in a Range Rover. So she's opened the Range Rover door. How do you know him? You keep saying something real ghetto, real. I said, girl, that is my boyfriend. So I'm trying to figure out who are you. But tone it down. Go a little lower with your tone because I don't know you. But I'm trying to figure out who you are. She said, your boyfriend, we live together. I said, y'all live together? But how, ma'am? This man ain't... Okay, if y'all live together, okay. But they were living together. So he was always saying, we had went and found a house. We had looked at a house behind Phipps Plaza or whatever, like put a contract on it and everything. Girl, he was like, we gonna move in August 31st. Come to find out, the lady told me, because I told her, we don't have a problem.
Right, I don't have no beef with you.
You don't have to yell at me. You don't have to do anything. You can actually ask me whatever it is you want to know, and I'm going to give you the answer. Mm-hmm. But we're going to do this in a low tone. And so she calmed down, and she asked me a bunch of questions. I gave her the answer. She said, I just thought we was going through a rough patch. But he told both of us that he was going to leave her because I was the better option.
Better option.
I said, baby, don't do it for that because you can't come back over here. But he literally was going to leave. August 31st was their end date for the house that they lived at. And keep in mind, I had been to this house. So you done brought me to this lady house. You could have got me killed if this lady would have. But she travels and go out of town. So she was out of town, must be, every time I went to visit or whatever. Long story short, he had to go. Then he kept calling. What are you calling me for?
Don't want to let it go. But if you hadn't seek God and asked God to show it to you.
Because I didn't live over there. I don't live in Buckhead. I had not been going to Target or anything. But I literally fasted because he had sent me rings. He was like, we're going to New York. I'm going to get you this ring. He's sending me all these things. Like, I want to call the attorney. We hadn't talked about, like, prenups because I'm never getting married again without a prenup. Never. And I need my husband, whoever it is, to agree to update the prenup every 12 months while we like each other. Because, see, that get a divorce for 3-4 years thing, baby, I ain't doing that. I spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands on lawyers because me and that person wasn't seeing eye to eye. Let's skip that. Sir, if you do not want to sign a prenup, we cannot be together. That's conversation one.
Mm-hmm.
And they be like, really? They can't wait. Because I'm not here to get anything of yours.
Right. I just want to protect mine.
I need to make sure that I'm going to protect mine. And if we are together every year, we're going to buy something. We're going to build something. So I'm not worrying about if we are not together. because every year I'm building wealth for myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm not about to sit around here and wait on your money. I'm having my own money. I'm not doing that. But every 12 months, let's go talk to the lawyer, especially if we've purchased something.
Together.
You get what I'm saying? Who's going to get this in the end? What is it going to be? On the odd years, you keep the property. On the even years, I keep the property. Let's just iron it out. Because then that way, you know I'm not here for your money. You know it, whatever it is that you have, because the last couple men that God has brought in my view, let me just say that. I ain't say he sent them to me, but it's put them in my view. They are extremely high-value men. Mm-hmm. In the sense of publicly, financially, and things like that. So when we have those conversations, they like...
It's not uncomfortable. They welcome it.
Baby, they be like, well, you all right with me.
Right, right.
Baby, I'm not doing that again. Mm-hmm. That is depression. I was depressed getting a divorce. I was stressed out. You are financially strained. My companies were up for grab. I couldn't make no money with none of my business. So I was living off of savings and doing little odd and end things. You can't even function when you are getting a divorce. Let's be very clear. It was that I used to cry every single day for years. It took me 3.5 years to get a divorce.
How do you feel like you got through it? How could help somebody else through it? Like, how do you feel like?
It was bad for me. It was truly a really bad thing for me. But I just prayed about it every day. And what I realized is if I'm at my lowest point, I gotta see tomorrow because it can only get better. It couldn't get no worse than what it was. So you just gotta put one step in front of the other. One step. I help women right now who are going through divorces because they know I've been through so many. They be on the phone crying, let me tell you what to do. I literally help them navigate through their divorces. So I feel like God gave me so many because he needed me to help other women who don't have the confidence that I have, who are not as strong as I am. And I help them navigate. I help them process. I help them understand a lot of the stuff that they're going through. So it's almost like I'm a divorce coach. I don't like to say that, but that's what it is, kind of.
So you just birthed yourself into being a divorce coach.
I did not aspire to be that, okay? It just kind of turned into that because people watched me go through a divorce for so many years, and I would actually make lives about it. And I would tell people, I'm not going to bash him. We're going to figure this out. But I used to respond to what people said. And I was like, these folks don't even know what's going on. You're not even a part of my divorce. So why am I even responding to you? But through that, so many people watched us together. And let me tell you a eye-opening thing for me with getting a divorce. So many people that knew me, whenever they would see me out, would say, I'm so proud you finally did that. And I was like, what? So many people, like people that had their stuff together.
Right.
And one of them I seen at a really nice party. And I said, why do you say that? I just finally decided to ask somebody. And she was like, because we all knew what was happening. And we all was just like, she okay with a lot. You know,
but it was, you really didn't know. And I think that is one of the most hurting thing for women, men, is everybody else know.
I knew.
Except you.
I knew.
Oh, you knew?
I knew. Let me look in the camera and say that I knew. I knew.
So you didn't want to leave the lifestyle?
I couldn't afford it. That was the discovery of you've been purchased. That is when I realized it. And I didn't like how that felt because one day he came home at like 9 a.m. and was like, make me some food.
After he done been out all night.
All night. He said, I'm coming right back. That was the longest I'm coming right back. And one day he said to me, you have an opinion when you start paying something around here. He said, go click on that light. Go look in that garage. Go stand outside and look at the house. You've paid for nothing. So you get an opinion or you get to ask me questions about anything you pay for. And you know how bad I felt? I had to sit on that couch And he said, the day that you don't like it here,
you can leave.
You can walk out that door. And he said, make sure you don't slam it, because that's my door. Because anybody will want the life that you have. He said, I know a few. I said, oh, okay, that's where we're going with this. All right, sir. So then I got every degree I could get. I started every business I can get, because I wasn't going backwards in life. I say, I'm already here. So now we have to make being here make sense.
Right.
So then I came up with a strategy. And the strategy was to be able to afford to live the way that I currently live on my own.
Independent of a man.
Because I'm never getting told that statement again.
Right.
Nobody else in the whole world will be able to say that to me. And I ain't getting married and paying no bills, but it won't be, I can't leave because I can't afford the bills.
Right.
And most women stay in things because they can't afford it, and they're too embarrassed to go backwards. I wasn't going backwards.
Not me.
I wasn't doing it at that moment.
Yeah, no. I'm saying now at this age. Like, back then, yeah, I took a lot of stuff.
But what I realized was I was going to make this house that I'm in, since you pay for everything, make sense. I want to go to school. I want to go to school again. I want to do this. I want to do that. And he will fund it. And it wasn't a strategic plan to leave, but it was a strategic plan that you're going to play in my face. I'm going to look good when my severance package around here is going to be good.
Right.
I mean, it still hurt a lot. It still cost me a lot. But if I wouldn't have had that strategy, I would be homeless. I would have nothing.
Or you would still be there.
Or I wasn't going to be there. And how I know I wasn't going to be there is because internally it was eating me up. I was convicted about being there. That was when I left. I didn't leave before it became a thing that didn't sit right with me. Mm-hmm. And one day he told me, he said, you only call me and ask me about money. You don't call me and say nothing else. Where your bill money? Where the money for this? Where the money for that? And what I never really wanted with me and him, because I was my friend, for real. I never wanted to be in his life solely because of that. Because I used to always tell him, all I want is some money. All I want is some money. And the day that I realized I'm only here for the money is when I knew I had to get out of there. Because I turned into who I told him everybody else was. I turned into her because I didn't like how you was doing me. And he didn't like mistreat me. He just always cheated on me.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So I wasn't mistreated. I'm not battered. I mean, he would throw stuff at me from time to time. I was good at ducking, so it never quite hit me. But it was a thing of I didn't like to go inside of rooms and know that my husband was sleeping with somebody else. That is not the way that I see marriage. That is not the way that I see. And a man who finds a wife finds a great thing, and God blesses that man. That wasn't it.
Right.
And God blessed him financially, but it was other things that I was like, that's how God getting you. And his business is his business, right? But I realized money isn't the only way that God can discipline you, by taking that away.
Sure is
not. Sometimes he can give you that and give you so many other things. So because I always asked for a man with money, God gave me that. But then he gave me the depression. He gave me the not want to be there. He gave me so many other things. He said, you asked for it, and you ain't asked me for nothing else. So I didn't give you husbands that had anything else but this one thing, because that's all you asked for. Now, like, my friends, like, I can show you DMs. People be like, I'm praying God send you a husband with money. I'd be like, uh-uh. Do not pray for me. Do not pray that prayer for me. That is not my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Do not pray that. But in people's brain, because I'm a material girl, so I like the material things of the world. But I've always had them my whole life. My mama, my dad, everybody always bought us. But because people see me as the girl that liked the stuff, right, they equate that to she is looking for a man with money. I'm the rich man that I dreamed of.
Mm.
So now
that's a bar. That's a bar.
I positioned myself to be her. And now that I have did that, I mean, you got to come over here with something.
But you want the things that money can't buy.
I want
buy.
The things that money can't buy. Right. Because those things are so special. Like, the smallest things to me make the biggest deal of my whole life. Like, I'm not impressed with things. I always have things. Like, give me something else to aspire to have. Like, creating memories, being there for people, being supportive of other people. Like, my little nephew has cancer. And because I've created this life that I have, I go fly to New Orleans every 2 weeks to sit with him at chemo. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I didn't create the life that I have. I even fly to church.
Every Sunday, well, yeah.
Two Sundays out the month now, because every other Wednesday and Thursday, I have to take my nephew to chemo.
Okay.
But I try to go because I really enjoy that church. It's really amazing. It's really good. And I know God is in that building. A lot of churches are, and it's a business, so I'm not knocking the business, but it's too commercial. It's too business. And so in Georgia, not saying there's no great churches in Georgia, because
my church
are,
is a great church.
Right. I'm not saying that, but it has to be great for me.
Yeah.
Right. I have to get what I need out
of
the building.
And that's your spiritual foundation.
And I get that in the church that I go to in New Orleans. And people are like, you fly there, you spend money. I spend money on everything else. Why can't I fly out to church? I fly out to party. I fly out to events. Why is it so abnormal to get up in the morning and go fly to church?
But you know, a lot of people have the mentality of they don't feel like you should give money to church or you should not tithe. So they can't understand. Their mind can't comprehend it because they equate it as, oh, the church is a scam.
I'm sorry for them.
Right.
I'm sorry they feel like that.
Right.
Because let me tell you something, in the darkest days of my life, in the depressed days, in the uncertain days, in the unhealed, unhinged days, the only person I had was God. That's the only, and the miracle of my life right now, there is no explanation. There is no explanation besides, baby, God is on my block.
Yes, he is, because now that you're there, I want you to talk about the miscarriages. You had a total of
15. And so what's crazy about the number 15 for me, and I don't know how this relates to anything, I got pregnant at 15. I was in the ninth grade, and all my teachers and everybody was like, you should just get a GED. You should just. And I don't like to talk about that because the past kind of is the past when it comes to them, because I am past that and I'm healed from them. But I had him, and all I knew when I got pregnant was I got to keep this baby.
And then why everybody else was telling you, like,
everybody
have an
was
abortion.
Like, yeah. You better get rid of this baby. Everybody else at the school was getting rid of their babies. Their moms would keep them out a week. You get what I'm saying? And so for me, though, in my soul, and I do not know why, but now today I feel like I know why. But when I was 15, everybody say, my mama took me to abortion clinics, and I would go into, she took me to probably every abortion clinic, and no knock to her, don't judge my mama, because that's my dog. She just didn't want me to mess my life up,
right,
in her opinion, mm-hmm. Right? I would go into them clinics and say, you can't touch me. Nope, not doing it. And as a child, if you walk into an abortion clinic, if you say that, legally, they cannot touch you.
Right.
You have to walk out. It don't matter what your mama say, your daddy say. It don't matter what nobody say. They can't touch you. And a nurse told me that, because I was sitting in a room and I was just crying and crying. And the lady was like, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm supposed to keep this baby. She said, why are you not? I said, everybody say I'm going to mess my life up, because I was so smart. Mm-hmm. I was such a smart girl. So it was just like, you got these good grades. You hit it somewhere. Why would you do this to yourself? And the nurse told me, she said, you know, if you say out loud,
don't touch you.
We have to let you walk out. We can never touch you. And that was my angel.
And now fast forward to where you are now.
That's my only living child. That is my only living child that I have.
How did you get through those 15 miscarriages? Because one, the child, you went full term and the baby lived for
a couple hours. Mm-hmm. His lungs wasn't developed. And so the doctor said, so in Georgia, I guess there's a thing. And I was so discombobulated when it was telling me. So if I say this wrong, you know, the internet like to check you on stuff.
Yeah.
So I have to say that first. If I say it incorrectly, it's because I can't quite remember what he was saying. Mm-hmm. But because his lungs and stuff hadn't developed, he wasn't going to be a viable baby.
Mm.
He was going to be a vegetable. He was going to have breathing issues. Like, he didn't know if they was going to have sight issues. They just didn't know. So because of that, you could elect to not give your child care.
Okay.
So the doctors can just stand there and just, y'all just let the baby die. They don't do anything.
How did you cope with that?
So for me, it was a thing of, I didn't want people to mistreat him. And children are cruel. The world is cruel. And I said, okay, this baby ain't going to never be able to
have a normal life
on his own. Is that selfish to me or is that selfish to him? And so when the doctor was like, and we don't even know if he's going to live after we try to do all these things. And so I was just like, just let's not. Like, and I just said, no, we're not going to do
that. And that was miscarriage. I mean, that was death.
That was the last one.
That was the last one.
Yep, that was the last one.
And each time that you lost a baby, how did you get up the next morning? How did you go on with life? Because a lot of women.
So I have almost like a compulsive, like competitive personality. So in therapy, I've identified this as I was out of my mind. But every time I would lose a baby, I would hurry up and get pregnant again because I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Like, I was so gung-ho on this next one is coming. And they all lived a little longer than the other one.
Wow.
I've buried 7 children.
Wow.
They are off of university. They're all together, though, because I used to keep them at my house. And then when my last son died, I had a whole funeral for him, and I put them together. And so on the grave, it says all their names on there, and I get to visit them all the time because my therapist was like, you're never gonna let this part of your life go if you have to watch it every day. So they used to be on the mantle. So every morning I would get really sad because that was the first thing I
saw when you
every single morning. So she said, you can't look at that, because for 2 years that's all I talked about was those babies in therapy. She said, Chanel, you've paid me all this money and we haven't gotten past these babies, because every time you wake up, that's the first thing you see. So it completely takes you into depression. It completely spirals you. That's why you spazzing out. That's why you cussing everybody out. Because you are waking up looking at the saddest part of your life as soon as you open your eyes.
After all the divorces, after all the miscarriages, after dealing with the cruelness of women on the internet and just all of the things, how is it that you have not become bitter?
Because my life is really good. And I hate to say it like that, but it's like, be bitter for what? Like, if God put me through all of that, there has to be the most amazing man in the world that he's preparing me for. And what I realize is when people lash out at you, because I used to lash out, it's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
So they don't got nothing to do with me. So I stop attaching myself to other people's hurt. You lashing out at me and I've never did anything to you and you don't even know my name? That's about you. So I stopped letting that become a thing that was deposited into me as a person. Because when you do that, like, just say you lash out at me and I lash out back at you, everybody else in this room ain't gonna know who to fool.
Right.
I want them to straight be able to identify you done lost your mind. And I'm gonna
say, that girl been in the Bible.
Baby,
that girl been in the Bible.
You done lost your way and your mind.
Yeah.
Because if you acting like a monkey, why am I gonna stoop to that level? I don't even have that in me.
Yeah, that's in Proverbs 2. And in being prepared for your husband, I think it's so important to point out you're celibate.
Yeah. Which is the craziest thing of my life. Mm-hmm. Because people that know me know that I always had a man because I want to have sex. And I want to have sex a lot. I don't want, if you can't go a couple times a week, my boy, then we not going to be able to make it together. Mm-hmm. I'm going to out-sex a man anytime, any day. It's always been like my problem. Mm-hmm. But what I told people was, is first I made this decision because one of my friends, I would just date people. I'm like, oh, I don't want to marry him. I'm just talking to him until God sent me my husband. I will always tell that to one of my homeboys. And he was like, well, what if God ain't sent you your husband because you have other people in the way and there's not a clear path for him? Mm. And I said, ooh, that's good. And so I sat with that for so long, it just kept playing inside of my brain. But the more I started reading the Bible more, so I have a master's degree in theology. And so when I started to really read the Bible in the context of the Bible, I'm committing a sin every single time.
Yeah.
And that's called cheap grace. My pastor calls it cheap grace, mm-hmm. right? The grace that when you know you commit a sin and you do it because you know God going to forgive you because God going to give you grace, that's cheap grace. Mm. And that runs out. So I no longer wanted cheap grace. I only wanted grace for things that were serious and that was important. And so to me, what I feel right now is the more I read the Bible, the more convicted I am about anything, about cussing at people. I used to cuss like a sailor. Baby, you're not about to convince me to cuss you out to save my own life. I would just stop breathing before I do that.
Wow.
And that's the development in me, because a couple years ago, I was like, I ain't never stopped cursing. I make a bunch of money. Who cares? Mm. Nah, sis, sit down. Put your hand down. Relax your shoulders. Why you all rowdy? You raising your blood pressure for what? A monkey? I call people monkeys. A monkey? But I became celibate because when God sent my husband, and I think I know who he is.
Oh.
I think. We ain't dating. We went on two dates. But I swear to God, every time I see that man, I say, God, that's my husband. He don't know it yet. Mm-hmm. But I don't want nobody to be in his way. And I don't want nobody to have touched me. And I'm not a virgin, right? So you can't go back to that. But at this point, you have to be worthy to touch me. And the problem with the world is everybody want to touch on everybody. Mm-hmm. Atlanta has,
especially in Atlanta.
Atlanta has the highest rates for everything. We right. 1, 2, or 3 on things like that. But for me, I don't want cheap grace. So being celibate is me showing God that I'm serious about this. And it don't matter how long it take him. I have all the patience in the world. I overwork myself just so I'm sleepy when I go to bed. And I go on dates. Right. So it's not that I don't go on dates. Some of them
not
don't
sharing
get,
your body.
Some of them don't get past date two, because on date two is when I decide to share the fact that, like, before date one, I don't tell you. Mm-hmm. But at date two, I share it because, you know, after 3-4 dates, men think you about to Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
But we're not going to be able to quite do that.
Right.
You can't come to my house and I'm not coming to your house at night. I can come during the day, but I'm not coming at night. Because what we doing? Mm-hmm. You going over there to have sex if right. you go to some man's house at night.
Right.
But I just didn't want it to be a thing where I did my life the way that I've always did it. I have to change it, and I have to have more discipline in this season. God has taken me so many different places. I did some preaching, and it was cool. And I'm like, I think I'm supposed to be a preacher. I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to be, right? Mm-hmm. I'm in this lane of I'm just letting God kind of like guide me. I wrote a gospel song.
Okay.
And it's so good.
Okay.
It's so good.
Do you have it out yet or no?
It's not out. Okay. I can let you hear a little bit of it, but okay. It's not out. And then it's just like I'm really doing so many things like with church and with just like my spiritual self that like I be posting about God on the internet. 200 and some people bought the same Bible that I have. Like, it's crazy, like, just how many people, like, say stuff to me about what I'm doing. It was like, we didn't even know you love God. What?
Yeah.
Is you crazy?
Yeah.
But because of how I was acting, they wouldn't know.
Yeah.
That wasn't nothing but acting a fool.
Right.
So it's just, like, with celibate, I help other women become celibate, mm-hmm. too, because they, like, my whole life is falling apart. I say, well, what are you doing? What sins are you committing? And when they, it's something about when people see that I do it, they think they can do it. And I'm not saying that in like a negative way.
No, but no, it's the like inspiration.
Yeah, an inspirational way. People are like, really? What? That's what you do? I'm going to do it too. And I always tell them, you should pray about it. Because I prayed about it before I did it because I don't want to break this with God. You know, and I don't know how long it's going to be that I'm going to continue on this journey. But I personally feel like I'm supposed to do it until I meet my husband.
Before we go, please tell everybody where to find you, where to get the book, where to get the coil products. I do use the shampoo and the conditioner, and I use the oil because my hair, from me wearing a leave-out all the time, is broken. My leave-out is broken off, so I use the oil. Mm-hmm. So tell them where to find everything.
So
where to find you.
You can follow me on Instagram at Chanel Kennard. That's Chanel Kennard. Go to coilbeauty.com. That is where my skincare products are. I own an aesthetic school. So if you want to be an esthetician in Georgia, come see me. I got you. We have a 9-month program.
And she has some really good rates too.
Yes. It's $250 a month tuition for now. So come become an esthetician. Over 300,000 women lost their job in 2025 alone and counting. Mm-hmm. So if you are one of them women, we have very inexpensive tuition. And if you go to my Instagram page, you'll see everything great. I'm a general contractor also. So if you need a house built, I'm a girl that's going to get her
because
some
coins. Because you helped the bakery get built after she got scammed all them times. You came in, was able to help
I them. Built the bakery. Mm-hmm. I helped Milano with her project also. So I did a lot of things. I helped a lot of builders in Atlanta get their permits and stuff and put their paperwork together. So I have a full construction consulting company.
Start to finish.
Yes. So we do permits. We do a lot of different things.
Tell them about the shoe line.
And then I have a shoe line, but I'm getting rid of it. Right now it's on ChanelKennard.com, but something in my spirit is telling me that my last name is not Kennard. That is my married last name. Mm. And since February, God has been saying, you are not SK, because I call myself SK. He's like, you're not SK. So I actually have a degree that I told the dean of that school, I can't take this degree yet. Because I don't know what my name is. And she's like, what do you mean? We have your name. I say, listen, I do not want that name on this degree because I am not her. And she thought it was the most amazing thing. And I say, when I figure it out, I'm going to call you. So right now in my life, I'm fasting about what is my name supposed to be. And by the end of 2025, hopefully God give me that answer.
Okay, well, there, y'all, there you have it. I know today that something was said to help you. We have a woman who has been able to go through the valley, y'all, and be on a mountaintop and look beautiful while doing it, right? So I'm just excited about for y'all to see this episode. Tell me the things that you got out the episode. Make sure you follow her. Make sure you keep up with her. And of all things, make sure you support her. We have to support each other as women in this world. We have to support each other. I cannot let you leave, even though we've been here for a minute. I cannot let you leave without telling me one thing you feel like you need to break free from.
My old self. People won't let it go. I want people to release me because I've released me from my old self, right? But I want other people to stop seeing me as that girl back then. Even friends who've known you a very long time, they like, well, it's different. You're new. No, I'm evolving. Mm-hmm. So I want people to let go of the Chanel they knew and come introduce themselves to the new version of me.
And they love the new body. I don't know why they don't want to let to go.
It's pretty dope, if I do say so myself.
Well, guys, there you have it. This has been another dope episode of Break Free Podcast with Miss Charnel. I'm not going to say the last name because we fasted on that. And just remember, guys, it's always delusion until they see it happen.
Clock that tea.